It's my privilege to introduce my older brother, David. David is a friend of mine. He'll introduce himself. But thank you, Dave. They've come from London today. They left early hours this morning to be with you here today. Thank you.
Bless you, mate.
So let me introduce myself. I am not from London. Right, I think the accent might give it away, but I can talk like this if I need to. So I'm originally from Birkenhead, Liverpool area. I got saved when I was 18, radically. Came out of darkness, never knew Jesus. Actually, never believed in Jesus. Right, so I would say at 18, I was probably an atheist. Right, saw a real horrendous upbringing in a dysfunctional family, a single parent, five kids, eight different dads. So you get a picture that Jesus has radically saved me. No amens. Are you a Pentecostal church? Right, you know, you should be praying for me now, right now. So I'll tell you what, you lift your hands to me and you pray that I can lift your spirits to the Lord. Amen? In the word. Amen? Okay, that'll do. Now, I had the joy, or was it the torment, of being with your pastor and his dad jokes several times in Israel. Right, and you know, I really believe God taught me a new level of grace, a new level of mercy, and a new level of love through that period. But you know, today maybe I'll be able to subject him to some of the abuse that he gave me over them weeks. All right. You know, I love Pastor Robin. I think he's done an amazing work here, guys, over the years. I remember when he first came here and in the old building, and just to see what God has done with you guys on the journey that you're on. Some of you have just joined. I was talking to someone today, and he just joined for the first time in a week. I better press. My daughter set this up for me, right, because I don't have a clue, and I still don't have a clue because it ain't working. Right, and she said, Dad, just press this, and it'll give you a 30-minute countdown. Right, because in London, we don't believe in time, right, because my church is 80% African plus, right, we have over 51 nationalities within our church, right, they're never on time, right, and so when they start, I start, but when they want to go home, I continue, right, because I believe that's part of the punishments of coming late. Right, but today you are on time, so I'm going to try and finish on time. Right, some of you are on time. I was watching. That's what a pastor does, by the way. But if you have your Bibles, can you turn to the book of John? But I want to talk about if and then. Right, and you might, that's a funny title, right? So I'll help you out just a little bit, right? And I'll call it if and then if you know me. All right, and the passage is a famous passage, and it's John 14, right, verses 1 to 14. Right, actually, can we just pray? Father, I've got jumping beans today. Not that I'm nervous, I just feel really excited. Right, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will just be with us. Lord, I want you to speak into the heart of every person that's watching online. Everyone that's struggling, Father God, I want you to speak into their hearts and their minds. I want you to lift them by your Spirit and your presence. I want you to bring to memory, Lord, your word, Father. Lord, because your word tells us that the word sets us free. And Lord, where the enemy comes to seek and destroy, you come to build and release. And I pray in the name of Jesus now that, Lord, today, if anything comes from this, that people will find a deeper peace, a greater joy, and will know that you truly are Jesus, the Lord of our lives. And the reason I want to say to you, church, wait there, I better say this at night, amen. I need to explain something. I suffer from ADHD, so my brain works quicker than my mouth, even if you think my mouth works quick. Or I ask my daughter because she suffers from the same thing. Right? But the reality is it's a blessing for me because I can do a lot more than you can do. Right? Because I keep working faster. I used to tire people out in my factory that I used to work with as a young kid. And they used to come up to me and say, can you slow down? You're making us look stupid. I said, it's not my problem, it's yours. They didn't like me for that. I don't know why. Right, but anyway, what happened is, right, I was reading this passage and it really challenged me. And I would be putting a mini series together in our church on this, but I felt that I should bring this to you today. And my heart is really to look at this and just to take it apart for us to maybe challenge ourselves. Because some of us have been in church for many, many years. And, you know, you've got so much wisdom to give to people and you keep it in. Right, and you need to give it out. Right? And for some of you, you think, well, I'm now 70 now and I'm in retirement. Can I just say, I can't find in the Bible any place for retirement. The only time you retire is when Jesus takes you home and then you just begin for eternity. You know, and the reality is, you know, we have so much wisdom to give. And for some of you young people, you have so much energy to give, like me, because I'm still just young. My daughter thinks I'm old, but I'm definitely young. Young in spirit and young in heart. Right, but the reality is, you know, you have so much to give in the energy that God has given you. But sometimes, guys, in our lives, what happens is we have the wrong ifs. And so then we have the wrong thens. Are you getting the title yet? Right, I can go home. I like doing it cheap. No, but the reality is Aristotle, right, introduced this idea, right, this idea of syllogism, right? And it's basically a logical argument, right? I love logic. I love to work things out. I love to, are you one of them guys who loves a puzzle? I love a puzzle. I could sit there for hours looking at puzzles and situations and impossibilities and looking for the solution of them impossibilities, because I'm reminded in Scripture that God is the God of the impossible and all things are possible through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And so no matter where you are today in your thinking or your processes, my argument is your if the correct if? Because if it isn't, then it'll be the wrong then. The then that God has for you. And so, you know, in computers, they start off with an if. This is the issue. This is what we've got to sort out, and we need to get here. And we see that in maths, and we see that in science. We see it all around us. And this whole idea of logic, sometimes we throw it out and we think, you know, we can't use logic anymore. We need to use the Spirit. But God created us in His image. And the Bible says that even the wisdom of man is sometimes wiser than the people of God. And we can still learn from the world and we can still learn from where we've come from, but we can't determine it, allow it to determine where we're going. And so what happens in life, and the reason why I started the way I started to say I was brought up in a tough environment, because I hear so many times that as an excuse to be who I am to where I'm going. Does that make sense? And Aristotle sat there and he began to think, and he looked, maybe he was thinking about Socrates, and he says, you know, Socrates is human. He's of flesh and blood, so he must be human, right? And he works out this analogy, this understanding of thinking, this process, and we do it all the time in our lives, but we don't put it down to Aristotle. If this is the issue, then this should be the conclusion. But often, our information is incorrect. And so when we come out of the world and we come into God, we come in with an understanding that there's a new knowledge, the Word, which sets us free. But what happens is we determine often how we're set free instead of allowing the Word to determine how we're set free. Does that make sense? And you might say, no, I never do that because I really believe in Jesus. This is the problem. And I see it in a multicultural church. Everyone brings their culture, their conditioning, their understanding into a relationship with Jesus. So whether you're from Brazil or whether you're from Africa, one of the nations in Africa, right, because that's a continent. I got put right by that once in my church. But the reality is whether you come from South America or North America, your cultures will be different. Your understandings, the teachings, everything that's been put into you, right? If you're English, sometimes you have that stiff upper lip, which is a load of codswallop, right? Because God wants us to dance like David. Please don't dance naked in church before the Lord, unless you're on your own and no cameras are on, right? But the reality is, right, God wants us to release all that we are and be all that we are that He created us to be. But we allow our conditioning, our understanding, our issues that we face to determine our outcomes. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. You know, I was reading statistically about, and I love statistics. Anyone who knows me, I just love analyzing. I love reading articles. I hate reading books for some unknown reason. ADHD, apparently. Anyway, that's my excuse. But I read article after article after article after article. I was reading an article on Christianity and how what the percentage is of someone reading the Bible and how long they read. Did you know the average reading time within the church in the Western culture is 3 minutes a day? 3 minutes a day. And we wonder why the devil beats us up. And we wonder why the devil has his way. And we wonder why the devil seems to be crushing the church. Why? Because we're using the wrong ifs. And we get the wrong outcomes. The wrong thens. How many of us, if we're honest before the Lord today, would say, I pick the Bible up every single day and I spent a good hour with Jesus? It's 168 hours in a week. I thought I'd get him on that one. It's about 168 hours in a week. That's a lot of hours, isn't it? Now, one third of them, most people out on average would sleep. I sleep 4, but most average people would sleep about 6. All right, some sleep 9. Get out of bed, you lazy bums. All right, but the reality is, what happens is we use our time in accordance to what we want rather than in accordance to what God wants. Wrong ifs. So we have the wrong outcomes. And we wonder why we go from crisis to crisis. We wonder when the battles seem hard. We wonder why our mind is under a constant battle, because we don't have the knowledge, we don't have the truth that sets us free. Because we don't have the intimacy. It's okay, I've just started. How long have I got? Oh, 20 minutes. You see, in the book of Philippians, it tells us about our salvation. I didn't put this down, guys. I just literally just put it on now. All right, so I do apologize for any texts. Right, working over there. I do it in our church all the time. They all take Valium, they all take drugs just to help them sort themselves out, you know, because of the nerves. They don't. I'm just joking, right? Please don't go out of here. But in Philippians 2, 12, 13, Paul writes this. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence. Isn't that amazing? You have obeyed in my absence. You know when the Bible talks about what you do behind closed doors? When everybody else is away on Sunday, we go, hallelujah, amen. And we have an amazing church. We are so blessed with the people. They love to dance in the church. I mean, I dance more than them. I have to tell them off sometimes because they don't dance enough, because they become English. How dare they become English? I was breaking out of being English. I got fed up with being English. You know, I would love the Brazilians to come down. Do you know what I mean? I would love the Africans to come dancing like they do, waving their scarves. Is that right? Yeah. Have you done it here? Get them scars out for Jesus. Right? Because you're allowing your freedom be suppressed by the if around you. And yes, something inside God says, this is how I should celebrate him. Do it. Do it. Don't be determined by what's around you, the culture. You know, it might help Pastor Robin. It'll lift him up if he saw you all dancing. Coming down, bringing, you know, I'm not saying about bringing your money. That's between you and the Lord. I'm still English that way. Do it quietly. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Right? But the reality is, Jesus wants us to work out our salvation. But not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. So he's saying, listen, you got saved. This is where I drive the cameramen nuts. You got saved, but work it out. Work it out. Not until you're 70, but till you're taken home. Until the full revelation of Jesus is given. Never give up working out who you are in Jesus. Never give up working out your salvation, what it means to you. What it means to God to be saved, to be set free. What it means to live in that liberty of freedom that Jesus paid on the cross for you. But you see, what happens is some of you are coming in here today and you come with your ifs of the world and you've sat there and you've been praising Jesus with them ifs and it's not set you free. When Jesus said you're set free. And so you have to declare. Because the power of the tongue can either bind or release, bless or curse. That's what scripture says. And so I have the power to say, Lord, you are mighty, you are glorious. You're the same King of David who, when all his enemies are around him, you saved us. You saved him. And now you're going to save me. Even though all my enemies, all my circumstances, all my impossibilities are around me, you're going to save me from this because you're the same King. Because he's the same today as you are, yes, as you were yesterday, as you will be forevermore. Do you get it? You see, it's a different outlook, isn't it? So I come with Jesus, I'm bouncy being Dave. Right? And I'm so bouncy. Why? Because I know who Jesus is in my life. I know he set me free. I know I'm not bound by the circumstances. When my mom said on the first day of Bible college, you're above your station, you shouldn't be there. Thank God I listened to Jesus. I love my mom. I still love her. I haven't stopped loving her. But she's wrong because her ifs are based on her culture of a council estate in Birkenhead in one of the most deprived areas in the country. When we were born, it was the most deprived area in Western Europe. Right? The reality is I can live in the circumstance of yesterday or I can live in the victory of today. Because that's what Jesus has done. And so I'm working out who I am. I'm working out to even greater things. I'm working out to do even greater things for him. You know, and the reality is, I use Pastor Robin because we've got a bit of a relationship. Right, it's all above board. I just want you to know that. He gets a bit close sometimes, but it's okay. He's very loving, isn't he? I love his loving ability. Right, he's teaching me. I'm working it out. How to love people. Because I never had a dad. But I can live in that past. Or I can live in what Jesus says love is. Sacrificial. But you see, if you say, yeah, I believe that. That's great. That's head knowledge. But then you have to decide, do you want to live that? That's wisdom. That's revelation. That's life changing. That's no longer the past, the culture holding you back. I need to get back to my sermon. Sorry. So if you know Jesus, then you know life. See, it's sort of related, isn't it? You see, I know my wife, but I didn't know my wife because somebody came along and I'm going to upset the music. I'm going to upset you now, okay? I'll put it back, I promise, all in one go, in one piece. But just imagine these pages where everything about Anne. And then they said, you're going to marry her. You're going to have two children. They're going to grow up. You're going to have two grandchildren up to date. Because it's still being written, that book, by the way. But she's an amazing woman, very gentle of spirit, really puts up with people because she's put up with me. She's very sacrificial because in ministry you have to be, wives have to be sacrificial. Or husbands, if you're a female pastor. Or you're in ministry. But that would be great because I'd get a picture of what she is. But it's not the same as living with her and getting to know her and being in her presence. You see, this only confirms what a relationship does. And in the same way, when we think we've arrived, then we've probably given up on the relationship with Jesus. And we're going cold and we're going religious. And it's so easy to be religious. Pastors can be religious. We can be religious, can't we? We've done it this way, so we ain't doing it any other way. Why did we do that? Because God spoke to us to do it that way at that time. You know, that's how culture is developed. But it doesn't mean it's right every day. And so we come with our own cultures because of our own conditioning, because of our own circumstances. And we have to determine, do we trust Jesus? Do we let go? Right? And for some of you, maybe you've never trusted in Jesus. And you need to let go today and give your life to Jesus. And you can have an opportunity to do that, but that's your choice. It's called free will. Because you're created in the image of God. But me, by knowing Anne, by living with her and knowing what she does that annoys me and the stuff that she does that loves me, binds me to her. And in the same way, there's things that Jesus annoys me over too because I have to give up certain ways. And the flesh is strong and I have to put it to death daily. And that's working out your salvation. And for some of us, we stopped And we need to take up the baton of working out our salvation. Looking at the ifs and saying, are they Jesus ifs? Or are they my cultural ifs? Society is giving you ifs every single day of your life. Through social media, whether it's Instagram, whether it's TikTok, whether it's those who are older like me, Facebook. Whether it's, you know, on the TV now, whether you've got all them channels. I've got loads of them. I can't remember them. Like Apple TV. Right? They're literally bombarding you with their culture. And for our younger generation now, they don't flinch when it comes to sexuality. But for the older generation, because it wasn't something part of our culture, we rile against it. Now, I'm not saying either right or wrong, right? Because it's the outcome that determines whether it's right or wrong. I can hate the sin, but if I hate the sinner, then I failed. Right? If I accept but do not challenge, because society all around me is like that in university, then I'm wrong. I need to make a stand. Do you see what I'm saying? And so the reality is, in all of this, it's my favorite phrase. Do you like that? The reality. Because the Bible says it is a reality. And when you step into the reality of God, your ifs begin to change and your outcomes begin to change. Have you ever noticed sometimes you can sow in a garden the same thing and the outcomes can be different because you begin to change the ifs by adding things to the garden to make them grow? For all you gardeners, it's the same in anything in life. What we put in is what we get out. You know, I like bread, biscuits, and pies. I'm a northern boy. I'm a northern boy. I like pies in bread, right, with butter and brown sauce, right? So a double carb intake is always good for you than a single carb intake. Any engine will tell you having two carbs is better than one, right? You know, but the carburetor, by the way. Right, but the reality is, what I'm trying to say to you is, I know it's bad for me because all of a sudden I keep looking down and it seems to be getting bigger and bigger and I think it's the blessing of the Lord. Then I realize there's not such a blessing of the Lord when I can't move as quick. And so I have to change the if in my life. And I have to get into that gym where I don't want to go because of the pain. And sometimes for some of us in this room, you're going to have to go into the gym of life. And you're going to have to challenge yourself with new ifs called scriptural ifs. And then what happens is the outcomes begin to change. Right? And for some of you, you're going to have to give up what you're watching on the internet. Because God knows what you're watching. We might not know what you're watching, but God does know. And for some of you, you're going to stop thinking culturally from where you've come from what's determined who you've become, and to begin to look at scripture and say, this is what I'm supposed to be. Lord, help me each step of the way to become that. And so what we've got to do is keep challenging ourselves. I better put this back because I might get shot by a Brazilian. Right. Oh, did I say that? I do apologize. I meant a Scouser. There's any more Scousers in the house? I've seen many a gun when I was younger. And they weren't toy ones. But John 14:5 says this. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that was not so, would I have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus is the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? I find that amazing. He says, you know the way. And then all of a sudden, Thomas comes back and says, we don't. So was Jesus a liar? Or was Thomas looking in the wrong place? Interesting, isn't it? I believe Jesus was not the liar in this story. I believe Thomas was looking with the wrong eyes. Anyone agree? Right? How many times do we look with the wrong eyes at a situation that we face? How many times do we see the impossibilities when actually God is just itching to ask him to show you how to do the impossible? How many times when this building was being built was the impossibilities facing you as a leadership? And how many times did God show you the way through them impossibilities? Am I right? How many times did you have a prayer meeting to pray for something that was needed a drastic answer in life, and you got that drastic answer in life even though it was impossible? So then why is it when it comes to our own lives, we don't believe as much as we should? Why? It's because we start in the if that has conditioned us rather than starting with the if that has changed us. And we need to be in the if that has changed us. I am radically saved. I am no longer part of the kingdom of this world, but part of the kingdom of heaven. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He clothes the lilies in the valleys. How much more will he look after me? My God is the God of the impossible. He opened the Red Sea so that a nation of approximately 1 million people could walk through it. Whether it was 1 million or not, it was a hell of a lot of them. And he still opened the sea. Right, you know, my God provided for 40 years a nation of food, right, and fluid in a water. Has anyone ever been in the desert? It's not a nice place to be, right? But God provided every single day, right? This is my God. Where did I get that from? From a different if than I was taught as a child. If my God says all things are possible, guess what? All things are possible. Guess who through? Through me, because it's through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So the reality is I have to decide who do I listen to. And here, Thomas was deciding to listen to the conditions of his thoughts and his processes, not to the truth and the reality which Jesus had been teaching him. And just before he told them in the Last Supper, he said, listen, a time is coming that I'm leaving you. He didn't hear it. He didn't want to hear that. And so often the truths that God speaks to us, we don't want to hear. But we need to hear them. You're in a sinful place. I love to bless and I demand blessing upon the righteous. But you're in a sinful place. Put it right. So I can put you in that place of righteousness. So I can pour out my blessing upon all people. That's you. But we don't like that bit. And so what we do is a bit like Thomas, right? We don't listen to the truth that's been spoken over to us. We just accept the truth that feels peaceful with us. You know, I don't know about you, but the Bible says I'm to take the kingdom by force. I love that, being a Scouser. Right? A good fight, it's in my blood. Right? And you might say, wow, you're a Christian, you're not supposed to be fighting. Right? The Bible says my battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the darkness of this world. So put on the full armor of God. One of them pieces of armor is the helmets of salvation. So I have to work out my helmets of salvation constantly. Why? Because I need to make sure that my head is thinking correctly. It's a battle. It's a storm. And I'm going to win the battle. Are you going to win the battle? Because the only way you can win the battle is to know who you are in Christ. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm beloved of God. I'm adopted in his family. Do you know what that means? That means the full weight under Roman law. And this is why he said it, the Apostle Paul, right? Under Roman law, the full weight of the whole of the Roman Empire is upon that adopted child. Can you imagine it? The most powerfulest nation in the world at its time was saying, now you're a Roman citizen, all the weight of Rome, the legions of Rome, the wealth of Rome, the power of Rome, the authority of Rome is upon you. And God's saying, yeah, but now as my child, all my power, all my authority, all my armies, all my providence, all that I am is now yours. So go out. But then the minute the person who tells you Christianity is dead, you go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Because we say amen in the church, but then when we go on the streets, we doubt it. But something inside us has to change if we're to turn our nation back to Jesus. Because God didn't say, he is the ambassador. God said, you're the ambassador. God didn't say that he will take the land. God said to Joshua, you will take the land. What did he say? He said, be strong, be courageous. How many times did he have to learn that? 6 times in the process of taking the land, he had to understand the truth was bigger than the circumstances in front of him. So this nation is a heathen nation who doesn't believe in God, is pushing from every side. That's okay. It's not a problem because I ain't fighting a battle. I'm fighting the battle with Jesus at the helm of who I am. And when we begin to believe in the power and the authority and the greatness of who God is, we begin to step into the unknown. And that's where the extra level of faith needs to come. Because faith is to trust in that which you cannot see. So I believe my nation can be changed. I believe in this room of radical evangelists, radical prophets, radical teachers, radical pastors, radical that in the sense that you could take the giftings and take them into the community and shape and mold the community because of the love that God pours through you. My daughter's going, it's time. Is it time? Oh, 5 minutes. Whew. Let's get to point two. Jesus is the way. Can I tell you, I very rarely finish a sermon. Jesus is the way. Jesus tells his disciple, he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one could come to the Father except through me. Not through Islam, not through Buddhism, not through Hinduism, not through the Seventh-day Adventist, not through any other religion, but only through Jesus Christ. So the Christian faith is superior to every other faith. And am I bold in saying that? And if anyone wants to hunt pastor, hunt me, right? Elim Leightonstone, right? Because the reality is Jesus is the way. And there is no other way, right? But if Jesus is not there at the center of your thinking, when the doubts and the fear and the insecurities and the battles come to you at that moment in time, in your thought of salvation or your lack of thought of salvation is, right, it's your if, not is if. It has to be is if. I'm getting excited. Are you excited? I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about Jesus. Can I come for a few more weeks? They'll either kill me or they'll love it. All right, but the reality is this, guys. If you don't speak it over your life, if you don't hold on to the truth, you will never shape your future and your destiny in accordance to the will of God and his desires. And what is his desires? That he would bless you, that he would strengthen you, that he would empower you, that you would be his victory, that you would be his mouthpiece, that you would be his ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? It's not the worst that God can bring. It's the best that God can bring. Right? Countries don't pick their worst people. That's why I'm not the ambassador, right? To any other country in the world. Right? Because in their eyes, I'm not, but in God's eyes, I am. Because God doesn't see with their eyes, he sees with his eyes. And when God chose you, when God called you, remember, many are called, but few are chosen, right? You are the chosen ones. If you're the chosen ones, right? As ambassadors, you're the best of the best. I bet you don't feel it, though, do you? Well, get rid of that stinking thinking and start thinking the truth over your life. It's that easy. Does it mean you don't have battles? Of course you have battles. Do you know the battles that you have are so small compared to the battles that you will have? I just want to encourage you. Because then battles get bigger, but you know what? God gets bigger in you, it gets smaller in your head. I love it. You know, I remember starting off, right? You know, first time in my life I've got a bit of money in my pocket. Oh, it's only a fiver, typical Scouser. Right? Oh, it's another fiver. Right, it's another fiver. Oh, crumbs. I've got more than I thought. Right, I'm going to lose more than I thought. Who wants this? Come on, then. It's a little illustration. I've just added it in, all right? I'm adding hoc here. Pastor wants it. He's obviously poorer. You're not tithing enough. Here you go. You can have that. Where's he gone? Come on, where's your faith? Watch this now. Watch this. Here you go, mate. Happy tenner. Enjoy. All right? Anyone else want some? Isn't it amazing, the hands? Well, you're not here yet, so you're not going to get it. Come on down. Hurry up then. Is it amazing? Right, first come, first serve. Once it's gone, right, the wife will be losing weight this week. Praise the Lord. Right. Oh, it's all gone. You were too late. Let me tell... Little one. Come here. The last shall be first. £20 note. It's all right. I'll put it in as church expenses. No, I won't. But the reality is this, right? And this is why I did that. Right, this is what ADHD does here because it's not in my notes, right? The reason why I did that is because as soon as I shouted faith and one young lad said, I'll have that, it spread and everyone wanted it. Wow. Wow. So the minute you start speaking it, even though everyone around you will think you're nuts, guess what? In 6 days' time, 6 months' time, 6 years' time, and I did 666 because the devil doesn't have the glory, right? Because God's 777, perfect, right? 888, sorry, I'll get it right before he corrects me theologically, right? My wife says, "Tell your son, your father, it's time." But this is the reality. I know even this week, darling. Well done, but I'm not going to listen to it, and he'll tell me off later. It's okay. But you see this. And this is important, guys. When you change your ifs and they see that your ifs now are becoming the thens that they want, they too will change. They too will come running to the altar. They too will trust Jesus. Whether they're in the darkest of places, don't play God. That's the ifs of the world. You know, Jesus went to a prostitute. The Pharisees looked at her and said, you're dirty. Jesus went to a tax collector. Right, and even the disciples were thinking, what the heck is he doing with him? So when you go into the darkest of places, you shine the brightest. Even if you think your brightness is not as bright as it should be. And the more you shine in them dark places, the more they come out because they want your light. So don't you live in the lies of the enemy. And Jesus was telling Thomas, Thomas, I've told you. And he challenges him. Before that, he challenged Peter, said, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he did. All right? The reality is we all start off in that place, but we can't finish in that place. And we know these disciples didn't. They would leave their darkness, their lack of faith. And in faith, they would die for Jesus. I'm not asking you to die for Jesus. I'm just asking you to die to self. You see, whether you know Jesus or not, right, you can change that by changing your if. And the if is, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man can come to the Father except through me. And he wants you to come to the Father. So he's calling you to come to him and ask forgiveness of your sins. Because that wrong if, that wrong stinking thinking is the hindrance, the barrier that stops you crossing over to meet with Jesus. And the reality is, right, Jesus knew that these disciples were crossing over from their old ifs into their new thens, right? But they had to challenge the if to claim the then. And that's our choice. That's our free will. Jesus reveals the Father. It's hard to imagine that I'm any good with this iPad because I'm useless at it. It's hard to imagine that Jesus, who was gentle, lowly, kind, and compassionate, gets frustrated, doesn't he? Or even angry. But it sure seems that for this instance, he's perturbed. He's annoyed. At Philip's request, don't you believe me? You know, we need to get out of our heads this meek and mild Jesus because he is meek and mild, full of love and compassion. Absolutely. But he's also the God of judgment and he will judge us all, whether saved or unsaved. Am I right, Pastor Robin? All right. And we need to get rid of this woke Christianity that we've brought into the church. Because we will be judged in accordance to what we've done and how we've used the giftings and the talents that the Lord has given us. Right? That gifting is your time as much as it is your natural giftings and your spiritual giftings. Like the book, the good book tells us. Right? But the reality is we need to ask ourselves, are we living for Jesus or is Jesus living for me? In other words, is who he is conditioned by how I let him be in my life? That's how religion is formed. That's how we lose intimacy. That's how the enemy gets a foothold. That's how the arrows of temptation come flooding in. Because we stop allowing him to speak truth into our lives. That's what the devil wants. Don't spend time with him. You're too busy. You've had a busy week. Just have an extra hour in bed. Right? You know what the difference between the older generation in this church and the younger generation? The older generation were taught by their fathers that if you were late, you lose your job. Today, we have flexi time. Right? And we go in where we want to. We do what we want. Right? Productivity in the UK is now at the lowest ever. Why? It's because we don't have discipline. Yet the Bible, everything you read about it is discipline as well as love. But it's love, and out of love, I am disciplined to be like him, a reflection of who he is. Jesus empowers us to finish, and I will finish, I promise you, someday. This is arguably one of the most interesting, potential, confusing passages in Scripture. Jesus tells his disciples that they will do even greater works than he. I love that. Has anyone raised the dead in this church? I raised a woman who was 95% dead. Right? When I was in Kenya, she had malaria, and everyone, even the doctor, said she'll be dead by tomorrow. But Jesus had different plans. Right, the next morning, she was dancing outside her shamba, praising Jesus. Right, I've seen eyeballs grow where there's no eyeballs. Have you ever seen that one? You see, if you don't put yourself in that place, if you determine your ifs by what the world tells you, then you'll never see them. That's a fact. So if you've got a neighbor who's dying, I tell you, if you said, do you mind if I pray for you because I believe my God can heal you? You know what? When someone's dying, all of a sudden they believe in Jesus because they got no answers. And I'm telling you that what Thomas was not learning and Jesus had to correct him and Jesus was getting annoyed with him was, listen, you have power of prayer that will determine people's outcomes. But we don't turn up for prayer meetings. Isn't that amazing? Because we listen to the wrong ifs. It's been a hard day. It's miserable. Well, you're up north. What do you expect? Right, it rains more up here. I know that. I live down the south now. I get more sun than you lot. But the reality is, it always rains. But years ago, I never stopped them walking miles to church in the rain or the snow. We have 1 inch of snow and two-thirds of the church don't turn up now in London. The softies. In my former church, we had 6 inches of snow. The cars couldn't move and still had 3/4 of the church that would turn up come to the evening service. Because it's an attitude, isn't it? Of discipline. And I'm saying to you, church, time's gone. I will shut up now. What are you going to do with your ifs? And where do you get them from? Where do you get them from? Look, they already want me to go. I get the hint. Did you set them up for that? We're going to talk later. In love, of course, I'm a Christian. But I still have a few ifs that I'm working out. No. The last time I hit someone, I just want you to know, on tape. Well, we don't use tape anymore, do we? We use digital now. I haven't hit anyone since I was 21 years of age. All right, but the reality is, going back, guys, as a church, would you be open for the Holy Spirit to change your ifs when they're not biblical? Or are you going to be stubborn full of pride and say, who the heck is that scouser talking to me like that? And let your pride get in. You see, there's some people now who are in hell. And when I say some, probably billions, because somebody once told them that Jesus could change their lives. And they said, nah. But they're now sorry. There's some in this room, and you've wasted your life, and you're here today, and God's saying to you, this is the time. This is the season. This is the year of the Lord's favor for you. But you, will you listen? Or will you carry on listening to the enemy? For some of you, you're going to have to repent and go apologize to people because you've been religious and you've been destroying faith instead of building faith. And you're going to need to humble yourself first before the Lord and say, I'm sorry. And then second to those that you perpetrated against, just to show your scousers do know slightly big words. But the reality is, if you leave it as it is, then this is a waste of time. He spent money bringing me up here because he's going to give me millions and he doesn't know it yet when he gets the bill. Millions, nothing. I have a choice to choose this day to whom I serve. Who are you choosing? I'm choosing Jesus. But you can't choose Jesus if your if has not been Jesus. You need to leave behind that if. So Jesus's then can become a reality again in your life. And that's what's amazing about grace. And that's where the love of Jesus comes in. And that's why he sacrificed his life. So this journey of working out our salvation can come to the fruition that we'll be with him and the Father for eternity. But I don't want to be where Jesus says, some of you prophesied in my name. You know, some of you, you know, spoke amazing prophecies and, you know, and you know, you even cast demons out in my name. Some of you, you know, cast these hardest of demons, but on the day of judgment, I never knew you. I'll have to say it. Because you never trusted me. You never walked with me. You chose your own ifs and you fitted me in with your if rather than my ifs. Can we bow our heads? I just want to give an appeal. Maybe you're giving yourself to Jesus for the first time, and you know, and I don't know how they do it in this church. In our church, you know, we get you to put your hand up and we pray for you, and the whole church prays for you as every eye, and I mean every eye, don't have one of them little sneaky eyes poking out, is, you know, it's closed. But if you want to change your ifs and the path in which you're traveling, the outcomes that you have, and you want them outcomes to change, then you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to ask him for forgiveness of your sins. And if you want to do that, just to help me so I can tell Pastor Robin, and he'll give, I know they'll have literature for you, right, to give you, and possibly a Bible. You know, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, can you just raise your hand and I'll point you out. It's not Crime Watch UK. I'm not going to arrest you or anything like that. Right? It's just I want you to have the best possible start to this new life with Jesus. So if you want to accept Jesus into your life, just raise your hand. So anyone here for the first time wants to give their life to Jesus, can you raise your hand? That's okay. I don't know this church. Okay, thank you. I see a hand there. Right? Is anyone else who wants to give their life to Jesus and say, yes, I want him to be my new if? Because my old ifs aren't working. There's a guy at the back as well who wants to give his life to Jesus. Anyone else who wants to give their life to Jesus? Holy Spirit, just speak to us. Just empower us. Give us strength to just lift that hand. Is anyone else? Okay, I'm going to pray a simple prayer of repentance. Right, and I want us all to pray it because I don't want anyone to feel left out or feel awkward, right? Can we pray it? It's a Scouse version, so it won't be a Redditch version. Right, so can you pray that with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I fall short of your standards. And so I sin. So I ask you to forgive me of that sin. And that you would come into my life and help me walk in your ways for the rest of my life. And help me to walk into the then you have planned for my life. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Let's give them guys a round of applause. That's amazing. You know, the Bible says one person gives their life to Jesus, the whole of the heavenly realm rejoice. But guys, really the biggest challenge is to you. Because you're the life changers. You're the life makers. You're the people who can shape the communities you're part of. Amen. I'm with you on that one. All right. You know, and this is the challenge. If you know that in your life, some of your ifs have determined your walk with God or lack of walk with God, and you want to put it right, where you sit, do that right now. Don't leave this building. Don't leave the room in your house. All right, don't go make a cup of tea. That's 2 minutes away. All right, it's all right. Your dinner won't burn. All right, but the reality is, don't leave this room if you know that some of your ifs are not Jesus' ifs. If God is for me, who can be against me? If I seek first the kingdom of God, then everything will be added unto me. These are my mantras. These are my verses that I declare over my life when the enemy comes to seek and destroy. He hates me. He hates you. He hates all of humanity because you were created by Jesus. And he hates you because you're children of light more so that he wants you and take you out. He's an assassin in the spiritual realm. Get used to it. But he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So stop listening and choose the right ifs and put them right in Jesus' name. Amen.